Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This episode is featuring my awesome wife, Rebecca. This is going to be a long episode, though, where we talk about 75 financial tips to celebrate our 75th episode. And I'm very excited that we got to episode 75, but 100 episodes is our next milestone. So let's get right into this episode quickly, since we have so much to cover. Our first and only money talking point for today's episode is, which of the 75 tips would be most beneficial for me? So get ready to write down your favorite tips and let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Okay, let's go over the 75 financial tips for our 75th episode. I want to welcome Rebecca on this episode, but we're going to go through this big list and we're going to expand on quite a few of them, just a little bit. But if you have any questions or want to learn more about one in particular, please email me or message me on social media. You can find my email in the show notes. But with that in mind, let's get into this 75 tip list and get us started, Rebecca.
Okay. Well, first, hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here. I'm going to start with tip number one. So tip number one, sinking funds are my favorite way to save. Number two, budgeting is very important to consider and implement. Number three, you can save too much money. Number four, a written plan is one of the most important things to have. And just to expand a little bit on this one, Skylar and I love to have our financial plan written out because it helps us to remember our goals and remember the conversations we've had, so that we can be on the same page, literally, with our written plan. But also, it helps us to focus on the things that are most important and look ahead to the future. Because I don't know about everybody else, it's hard to remember everything with all that's going on. So writing it down, super important. Tip number five, automation is essential to sticking to a long-term plan.
Yeah, I wanted to add some to this fifth tip. Automation, I talk about it, I think, in like every 3 episodes or something like that, or it comes up in every single episode. But it's key to sticking to the long-term plan because it can be really hard to stick to a long-term plan because it's, guess what, long-term. It's going to take a while to get there. So if you have to do it every single month, it's going to get kind of tedious and boring. But if you automate it so that things are happening automatically out of your paycheck, whether it's something like a 401k or your other retirement accounts, if it's automated, it's way easier to stick to the plan because you're not worrying about it. When you're not automating it, you're thinking about it every time you have to do it. But that's what I wanted to add to automation. Let's head on to number six, which is credit cards are a dangerous tool and not for everyone. They can be dangerous, especially. And to add to this one, think about how bad credit card interest rates are right now. With every other interest rate going up, times that by a whole bunch, and then you have credit card interest rate. One of the things that I wanted to mention with this point that Rebecca and I did that I think was actually, it was accidentally very beneficial that I've heard other couples doing when they first got married is not using a credit card for the first 6 months to a year of marriage. And that I think can be beneficial because then you know exactly how much you're spending. Your money's coming right out of your account, so you can't overspend, because as you're adjusting, it can be pretty tricky if you have a very high credit limit and you just want to spend like your normal life when you're adjusting and have to get used to the married life now. Rebecca, what do you think? Was it beneficial for us to maybe just start out with a debit card, even though we kind of accidentally fell into that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's easier to manage your money, especially as you're adjusting to marriage. But even just for a single person, if you're able to watch your bank account number drop using your debit card, it's going to be more real and easier to manage your money in that way, because credit cards make it difficult at times to know really how much money you're spending.
Yeah, charges pend forever, or maybe you're getting a refund. I don't know. There can be a lot of things that make credit cards dangerous. They're not for everyone. But number seven, credit cards can be a very nice tool. It's kind of a counterpoint to what number six was. But let's go to number eight. Index funds are the way to go, which leads us right into number nine. Simple investing is happy investing. And this is one that I wanted to add more to. Because Rebecca, do you remember what it was like when we first got married, or I first wanted to get us into investing? Do you remember how crazy that was?
I was just stressed because I think the stock market's crazy and I didn't know how to understand it.
Yeah, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But what happened once we simplified it, once we got a little bit simpler?
I mean, now I'm more comfortable with it. Once you were able to research a little bit more about it and choose the most simple ways in order to invest to guarantee return. So I feel better about it.
Yeah, it was a little easier. It's a lot happier, that's for sure, now that we keep it simple. So I've always said on this podcast, and you can listen to previous episodes, of course, but simple investing includes things like ETFs and index funds. Keep it simple. Don't try to pick your stocks correctly. Don't try to time the market. Keep it simple with automation. But number 10, look at your money in new ways and try out new ideas. That could be a fun topic to explore in future episodes. But that'll do it for my five. Rebecca, you want to take it over for the next five?
Sure. So number 11, budgeting gets easier and easier as you go. And this one, I just wanted to emphasize because I know budgeting is a word that people typically hate. Nobody likes the idea of budgeting at first. But as you start to develop the habit of budgeting and figure out what works for you, it does get easier. And so when Skylar and I first started budgeting together, it took a long time. It was stressful. We were always going back and forth on a lot of different things. But as we have established our rhythm and how we like to budget, now when we have our budgeting meetings, they can go super quick and super fast because we've done it over and over and over again, and we've now figured out how it works best for us. So it does get easier once you get started. Tip number 12, it's essential to work together with money if you're living with somebody. Tip number 13, talking about money is important for everyone. Number 14 is create systems for your money, which Skylar loves to talk about.
Yes. If you can't tell, my thing is always automation and efficiency and systems and keeping it basic and easy. But the systems for your money, that's like automating your bills, which is something that I think seems simple, but maybe you don't do. Maybe your gas and electricity bill aren't on auto pay. Set those up on auto pay so you don't really have to worry about them. And then just make sure there's money in there, obviously. But if you create systems, you take those little $1 ideas, $1 concerns off of your plate. You automate them. That's where a system around how much your minimum spend is before you check in with a spouse, that kind of a system can make things less stressful. Setting up systems around auto paying credit cards off so that your statement balance gets paid off instead of just the minimum payment. If your statement balance is what your auto pay is set for, it's going to get you in the right mindset to make sure you have that money. So if you set up the systems to help you be successful, it's going to be a whole lot easier.
Yeah, and I think systems on when you're going to budget and when you're going to check in on things, also helpful. But number 15 is accountability partners are very helpful.
Awesome.
But yep. Skylar, take it away.
Great. Number 16. We're moving right through this list. Tip number 16, make sure you're saving for retirement. Tip number 17, and I want to add on to this one, but it's don't try to learn everything all at once. And Rebecca can add to this, but she knows that I have this like research addiction where I have to know everything all at once. I have to figure it all out. But sometimes that can come at the cost where you're not actually doing anything. You're just researching. And when it comes to your finances, you can definitely find yourself in a place where you aren't doing anything. You're just sitting there trying to learn about money, trying to learn about the stock market. Just start doing something. You don't have to learn everything all at once. But number 18 is understand that behavior is a huge thing with money. Tip number 19, emotions play a role with money, so don't plan as if they don't. It's not all math and numbers. Honestly, the math and numbers is the easy part. The emotions that money has with it is the hard part. Number 20, money impacts everyone's life in a lot of ways. So don't think that your simple plan is how everyone needs to be handling their money, because it's different for everybody. But Rebecca, tell us about the next five.
Number 21 is planning goes a long way with money, meals, transportation, etc. So when we talk about planning with your money, it's not always just money. You also can plan other aspects of your life which impact your money. Number 22, discouraging salary discussions is a big red flag. Number 23, the emergency fund is non-negotiable. Number 24, buy now, pay later is an old scam in new clothes that were probably brought with debt. And number 25, don't make decisions immediately when it comes to money. And I think this is extremely important because it can be really easy to fall in a trap of when you get paid or come into some money that you want to just immediately go ahead and start deciding what to do with it. Like, especially with tax returns coming up, people getting money from their tax returns, we immediately want to go use that money and spend that money. However, when we take some time to sit on it and think about it and consider all the different ways that it could go, you will be able to make better financial decisions. So yeah, don't make decisions immediately.
We just got our tax return, honestly, within like 5 days of submitting our taxes. So one, that was amazing. But two, like that money showing up that quick can be a very like immediate gratification that the money's already back. We haven't had time to like forget about it and then be surprised. We've been thinking about the money. So I would say, to add on to your point, Rebecca, we put that tax return in our account, in our spreadsheets and stuff, but it's tabled to talk about at our next budget meeting. We haven't had a conversation about what we're going to use that money for. Because if we make that decision right now, it's probably going to end in us spending all of it. That can be dangerous.
Exactly. So,
yeah, yes. I'll take us from here with the next five. And I got a couple here that I want to talk about. So this one's going to be a little bit long. So get your pens and pencils ready to write down these tips. Number 26, have a normal, regular time to talk about money and make decisions around money. This is something that I think you've heard both Rebecca and I already mention, is we have regular budget meetings. It's the last Sunday of every month. We budget last month's income for the current month's income. So if we're having our budget meeting at the end of February, we're budgeting all of the money we made in February to be able to spend it in March. But that regular time to talk is great because we'll have money conversations throughout the month. Of course, things come up, but the big things like tax returns, buying an e-bike, buying a car, getting student loans, those kind of things happen monthly. And it makes it way easier, less stressful, and just better because we can both be prepared. But number 27 is the 50-30-20 budget rule can be a great starting point. And I think as a financial coach, this is something that I love telling people when it comes to budgeting, is you don't have to be as crazy as Rebecca and I can be with all of our different sinking funds and things like that. The simple rule of thumb for budgeting can be a really good starting point, the anti-budget or the 50-30-20 rule. Just find something simple and stick to that. You don't have to be perfect at it, but just setting yourself some sort of an outline is a great starting point when it comes to budgeting. And then, like Rebecca said in one of her tips, it gets easier and easier and easier as you go. Number 28, you don't have to be debt-free to start investing. Number 29, being debt-free can open up many opportunities. Those two kind of contradict, but they're both great tips. Number 30, meal planning can be a huge deal when it comes to your health and your finances. And this goes back to Rebecca's topic about Planning goes a long way with money, meals, and transportation. Meal planning is a huge deal. Rebecca and I meal plan. Now we're up to once a month. It used to be every 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, and now we're at once a month. But this essentially allows us to meal plan like the last week of the month going into our budget meeting. And then we can say, hey, here is how much our groceries are going to cost for next month for the majority of our meals and everything, which is huge when it comes to budgeting to know that number. Because guess what? One of the most spontaneous and random numbers can be your groceries, because you can spend a good amount of money on your groceries. But because of meal planning, we're able to say, this is how much we're going to spend on groceries, add $40 for lunches and snacks or whatever that might come up. But it gives us a way better target to hit. But Rebecca, if you want to add to any of those, feel free, but take us into the next five.
All right. So number 31, make your goals measurable. Number 32, track your expenses.
Yeah, this is my point again. I'm just talking all over. I'm just talking a whole bunch, but you have a bunch coming up, Rebecca. So everyone get excited to hear Rebecca's wise insights. So tracking your expenses. Like I said, the budgeting rules of thumb are a great place to start, but I think an even better place to start before you even try budgeting is just tracking your expenses. That way, you know where your money is actually going. Because if you're just spending and you don't know where your money's going, how are you going to know how to fix it? So just start by tracking your expenses. That one's that simple, Rebecca. So keep us going.
All right. Number 33, use an online tool like PC, Mint, or YNAB.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Yep. YNAB. You need a budget. YNAB.
Oh, you need a budget. Love it. Number 34, go reusable. And number 35, don't get name brand items.
All right. Number 36 is break up your annual expenses into monthly savings. And I've talked about this one before, of course, but Rebecca and I will take our annual expenses or even semi-annual like car insurance, but we'll take our annual things like annual subscriptions and break them down into monthly subscriptions. But instead of paying the company monthly, which can usually lead to a higher cost because of monthly charges or just the monthly subscriptions usually higher than the annual subscription, we break it down within our accounts and our sinking funds so that things are easier to pay for, which comes up a lot with Christmas and holidays and things that tend to spend more money. It's a whole lot easier to budget for a $500 or $600 or $700 Christmas over the whole year instead of taking a whole fourth of all the money you make in December and putting it towards Christmas. So make sure you're breaking up annual regular expenses into monthly savings and budgeting for them monthly. Number 37, and Rebecca, I know this is one of your favorite tools to use, but no spend weeks. What do you think about them?
I thought I was going to say it's your favorite tool to use.
Both, yeah.
I'm just joking, but no spend weeks. So Skylar and I will every once in a while have what we call a no spend week. And we usually do it when we feel like we've been spending a lot of money here and there. Like maybe we went out to eat, we got gas, we got groceries, we bought some gifts. And again, we've saved money for these things. We budgeted for these things, but sometimes it feels like we're spending tons of money. And so what we will do is we will implement a no spend week. So for an entire week, we will not buy anything except for necessary expenses, like if we need gas or if we really are out of milk and need to go to the grocery store. But we like to implement these because it makes you stop and think about what you're spending your money on. So if we are out and about at a store or out and about doing whatever we're doing and we're like, hey, let's buy this or let's go out to eat, we can think, wait, it's a no spend week. We don't need to buy that this week. And it just helps to have a hard reset on spending money, because sometimes you can fall in a trap of just buying all this stuff or like ordering things on Amazon. But if you have that no spend week, it gives you a chance to really think about what you're spending your money on and reset on what is most important and what is a priority. And it's very refreshing, and it can help you feel better if you've gone through a phase or a period where you have spent money and you're a little overwhelmed by it. So we like to do them. We did one right after Christmas, right in the new year, after lots of expenses happened, and it's just refreshing. So we like to implement those every once in a while.
Yeah. And sometimes those expenses that you're going to make during that no spend week just get pushed off a week. And I think that's fine. Like Rebecca was saying, it's a mental reset, but also there's definitely been things that we thought about buying during a no spend week that we just forget about because we don't really need them. So they can be really helpful. But number 38, smart thermostats. These can save you a lot of money. They're honestly very nice too, especially when it comes to controlling the thermostat when you're not home or on your way home. But number 39, research well before you buy. And this kind of goes back to the one about you don't need to learn everything all at once, but it is good to research. You need to know what you're buying before you buy it, especially when the charges or the expense is over probably like $250-$300. Obviously, it depends on where you're at financially, but make sure you're not like buying something that's worthless or something that's just going to break on you. So make sure you research well before you buy. And then the 24-hour rule, please go back to the episode that I have on this one and listen to that because this is a great tip.
All right, moving on to the next set of tips. We've got number 41, get a 401k employer match. Number 42, save your received gift money. And I like this one because you'll often get gifted money for birthdays, Christmas, graduations, other reasons. And sometimes it's $20 to $50 at a time, which is awesome. However, and maybe not for everyone, but for me, I often don't know what I want to spend my money on when I get gifted this money. So instead of just thinking of something random I can buy myself, Skylar and I will often save that money aside. And then as time goes on, there might be something that we really, really want that we can then use this gift money to go towards that purchase. So for example, last winter, we bought an electric blanket for our bed. It was $100-$150, which we used our received gift money for, which was awesome because we had saved up this money that we were able to then buy ourselves a gift from all these generous gift-giving people. That was something that we wanted and that we needed and we felt was a good purchase. So we really like to do that because then down the road, you can be surprised and get yourself something really nice instead of just spending the money on small little items here and there that you don't necessarily want or need at the time. So that's number 42. Number 43, take advantage of deals and free things because who doesn't love free stuff? Number 44, pay more than the minimum payment on loans. That helps you avoid interest. And number 45, don't pay credit card interest. There you go, Skylar.
Yes, don't pay credit card interest. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. If you do really need a loan for something that you're buying, there's better ways to get a loan. Please don't put things on credit cards. Make sure you're paying more than the minimum payment so you can actually pay it off. One of my favorite things to reference is put your credit cards in some sort of a payoff calculator, or likely on your credit card statement, there's some sort of breakdown of how long it's going to take you to pay off your credit card, only making the minimum payments. The thing that those never account for is the fact that credit cards are likely having more transactions put on them. Credit card interest is the death of most people's financial life. So don't pay it. It's not worth it. You can get loans better ways if you need money to pay for something. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that one. But I'm going to take us right into number 46, which is more on credit cards. Make sure you're using credit cards wisely. Number 47, don't go into too much debt. Number 48, avoid auto loans. Number 49, use high yield online savings accounts. So those four were really just about like managing, I guess, what I would call the basics. Make sure you're not in too much debt. Avoid auto loans because they're a loan on a depreciating asset. And if you let them build and build, they can also be very destructive to your financial life. And high yield savings accounts are just something you should use because they're good. They're simple and they're easy to use. So number 50, though, we're almost through the whole list, but number 50, buy in large or in bulk quantities. Rebecca, you wanted to talk about this one.
Yeah, I think this is something that is a really easy change that people can make if it works for them. You may notice when you're at the store, you can look at the price per unit or price per ounce on things that you're purchasing. And often larger or bulk items are more expensive looking just at the price, but cheaper for price per ounce. So essentially you're getting more for less. So when possible, we like to buy in bulk and stock up because even though in the moment it might be a larger expense, down the road you are going to spend less money on said item. So if possible, depending on storage space and expiration dates and different things, when possible, we recommend buying larger bulk quantities of items just to save a few cents here and there that really do add up over time. Moving on, though, we've got number 51 is eliminate daily expenses. Number 52, use the Gas Buddy app to find cheap gas, because there are cheaper gas stations available if you do the research to find where it's best to get gas. Number 53, drive slower and less aggressive. Number 54, shop around for deals. And number 55, shop your insurance regularly.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you, Rebecca. A lot of those were about cars, because cars are a major expense in most people's lives. So make sure you're doing your due diligence to save money where you can there if you have to have a car. But shopping your insurance regularly is something that I always like to talk about, because it can be a huge money saver, or it can be a huge money pit if you're not shopping it regularly, because your insurance company may keep raising your rates slowly because of inflation, even though you've never made a claim on your insurance, or even if you have, maybe it goes up way more than you expected. But sometimes it is meant to go up. That's okay. But make sure you're shopping it regularly. It's so simple to put in your stuff online to get a free quote. And then if you just put in the same numbers for your insurance numbers, and if you need help figuring out how to find those numbers or how to put that in, please ask. I'd be willing to help. Or there's insurance brokers that can run the numbers for you. But make sure you're shopping insurance, all types of insurance, regularly. And don't be afraid to switch. It's not that hard. Because if your insurance is on an auto pay and you just keep auto paying it, it'll keep automatically renewing. But if you turn off the auto pay right before it's set to renew, it'll just automatically expire and go away, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to call, nothing. Unless, of course, there's some sort of cancellation fee. Make sure you know your plan. But if you're shopping regularly, you can often save money every single month, or every single time your insurance comes up. If you pay it every 6 months, that makes it even easier when you're amount goes down every 6 months. That would be wonderful. But make sure you're just shopping it regularly so you're keeping a good number on your insurance and not just spending more than you need. But I'm going to take us into our next five here with number 56. And Rebecca, I know you love this one, so I'll let you talk about it. But number 56 is use the library for DVDs and entertainment.
Yeah, guys, why are we not utilizing the library more often? That's all I'm saying, because growing up, my family always got DVDs and movies, games, and books, all from the library. And Skylar and I have started doing that too, because you don't have to pay anything to get a library card. And you can then have access to so many movies, games, books, all this different entertainment. So instead of renting movies, going out to the movies, renting games, like, you can avoid spending money on all these little things by just using the library. It might even save you from some streaming service fees if you can find all the movies and shows you're looking for, if they're older shows, at the library. That's how we watched all of Friends. It's amazing. So you utilize the library. It's a great resource.
Yeah, it is a wonderful resource. And I didn't utilize it enough until I met Rebecca. So I can imagine how much money she saved me, because I never buy an audiobook or a book, just rent it from the library. There's great apps like the Libby app that you can listen to audiobooks. So if that's your thing and you don't listen or read physical books, you can still get them from the library. Number 57 is bike more. And I can talk about this one. I have a public transit episode to go listen to, but I'm going to save Rebecca even more time listening to me talk about biking on this episode. But biking more can save you a lot of money and help your financial life, and it can be good for your health. Number 58, I'm going to pass it back over to you, Rebecca. You love free things and community things. So number 58 is find free community events.
Yeah, seriously, there are so many events in your community if you're just looking for it, and you can save money by utilizing these free events. So some events that Skylar and I have gone to, and I will say as a disclaimer, it's much easier in the summer because there are tons of events, but we have gone ice skating for free. We go to all the city days. So there's live music and entertainment, and we don't have to spend any money. We can go enjoy a free concert in the park. And We've even gone, again, let's go back to the library. We've gone to bingo night and we've played bingo and we've won prizes. I've gone to paint nights. Like, if you find these free events, often you can find like a community calendar online or a calendar at the library, or I'll even look on Facebook just for any upcoming events in the area. And often they are free. And so you can find fun things to do in your community without spending any money. So it's a ton of fun. Oh, we like going to pumpkin walks, though they're fun in the fall and also free, looking at carved pumpkins and enjoying the outdoors. So definitely look for free community events in your area to have fun and save money.
Awesome. Yeah, those are awesome. So number 59, assess your childhood experience with saving money. And I think I want to talk a little more about this one because what does this actually mean? But think about times in your childhood that you remember interacting with money. So for me, one of the common things I go to is that I recall my family not filling up the vehicle with gas, just putting a $20 bill worth of gas in our vehicle. And that's one of the things that stands out to me and why when I was growing up and eventually got a car, I said, I always want to be able to put a full tank of gas in my car, because that's something that stuck with me. Rebecca has stories she shared with me. We're not going to go into a whole bunch of stories here, but think about a childhood experience where money was involved and think about how that might have shaped your current opinion or experiences with money and relationship with money. Number 60, identify spending triggers. This one's useful just to put a little bit of friction when those triggers come up. That way you can calm them down, like the 24-hour rule. But Rebecca, take us into the next five.
So number 61 is check your credit report. Number 62, keep up on home maintenance, especially windows. Honestly, I think our energy bill would be a lot lower if our windows were well insulated, but that's the problem of renting. But if you have control, keep up on that home maintenance. Number 63, shop gently used clothing. Number 64, be open and honest about gift giving expectations so you can set yourself budgets, limits, don't have to go above and beyond as long as you set those expectations. And number 65, save for Christmas and holiday spending. So this one I think is extremely important. Christmas comes up every single year. It's the same time, December 25th, every year. But somehow I think it catches everybody off guard, and other holidays as well. But we just need to remember it comes up every year. So Skylar and I love to be able to save up throughout the year for that spending on Christmas and on holidays, because it saves a ton of stress when you know how much money you have for the holidays. You've saved every single month for those holidays, and you're not shocked when you have spent way too much money in one big holiday spending spree. So save for Christmas and holidays when possible. It will really help you out in the long run.
Yep. 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 Awesome.
But
number 66.
Move on to those next ones. Sorry. Yes, go ahead.
You're good. Number 66, get annual checkups at the doctor. Your insurance likely covers them. Take advantage of them and keep your health going strong. Number 67, exercise regularly. Again, bike more, go to the gym if you need to. Number 68, cancel reoccurring subscriptions. If there is something that you don't use or aren't going to use for 1 month, cancel it for that month. Most regular subscriptions, especially if they're just streaming services, don't have any sort of a cancellation policy that you can cancel whenever. So do it. If you're watching a show on Hulu and you pay for a Netflix subscription, but you know your Hulu subscription is all you're going to be using for the next couple months while you watch the show, cancel your Netflix subscription. You don't need both. So that's one thing you can do. It's number 69, pay attention to your work benefits. If there's something that's free that your work officer offers, take advantage of it. I know my work offers like a free telemedicine thing that you can call and get advice or counseling. I think it's like a mental counseling thing or like simple medical advice for free. So if that ever needs to come up, we got to make sure to take advantage of that. But number 70, and Rebecca, you highlighted this one to talk about it, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say, but number 70 is don't save your credit card information everywhere.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about this one because I think it could be a simple way to prevent unnecessary spending. So for example, your phone, when you go on a website, you save your credit card information. So you're looking online shopping, and it's super easy just to push the button that fills in all of your automatic credit card information, and now you've spent the money. However, if you, like Skylar said, have like create a little bit of friction on some of those spending triggers, then maybe it will make you stop and think for a second if whether or not you want to buy the item you're looking at. So if you're online shopping and every time you want to buy something, you have to pull out that credit card and put in every single number and check the CVC, is that what it's called? I don't know, that code on the back and the expiration date. If you have to put in each of those numbers every single time you're shopping online, then I think might make you stop and think and slow you down just enough that you might not spend the money unnecessarily.
That's awesome.
And then the other part, I just worry about my information being stolen, but yeah, I don't think that's as big of a concern because there's lots of anti-theft and protection and things, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going to go with this. I thought this was going to go in an ID identity theft situation, but I love that you took it in a slow down your spending triggers, add a little bit of friction. That's awesome. I didn't even think of that. So Rebecca's smarter than me.
I'm lazy. I don't want to have to pull up my credit card and put in all the info. So it would slow me down from purchasing certain items.
And it would definitely make you think. You're like, oh, what if you don't have time? Like, what if you're like that impulse shopping, like right as you're about to go into a meeting or something? And if you're
cozy in bed and your credit cards is over across the bedroom and you don't want to get out of bed to.
Then you save yourself $40 because you don't actually remember what you were going to buy when you wake up in the morning.
Yes.
Awesome. Rebecca, take us home with these last five then.
All right. Our last five tips. I hope you're all ready for this. Number 71, use credit card monitoring and ID theft services from banks and credit unions.
Yes. Rebecca, how many emails do we get when we open a new credit card?
Oh my gosh. So many. They're pulling my reports. They're noticing activity on my account.
Everywhere offers these free credit monitoring and ID theft services. So use them, like especially if your credit union or bank has maybe one that's a little bit more in depth with some sort of ID theft protection portal like our credit union has. If you have that service, sign up for it and use it. It's easy. We just delete the emails when they come through because we know it's us. But there's been a few times where maybe it comes through a little bit later than we would have expected. So that prompts us to say, hey, is everything okay with our finances? Did someone steal our ID? No, they didn't. This is what it is. And we figured that out. But if you're not signed up for those services or you turn them all off, you could be leaving yourself at a big risk. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that one.
Number 72, sign up for free reward programs for the places you frequent. That's why you sign up for Chick-fil-A and get yourself a free lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Number 73, have a will. Number 74, HSAs can be a great investing tool. And number 75, take care of your financial life before taking care of others.
Yeah, this is a big one that comes in, especially if you're in a situation where maybe your kids don't have money to take care of themselves, but it's hard to pay for your whole life and their whole life. It's the same principle as put on your oxygen mask before others, because if you don't, you're probably going to pass out before you can actually get them help with theirs. So make sure you take care of yourself first so that you're on stable footing and stable ground to actually be able to help others. So yeah, that's all of our 75 points. They're all going to be in the show notes, but we're going to do a quick break real quick. And then we will talk about a couple other things to wrap up today's episode. All right. So now what's the main question? Let's talk about the money talking point. Which of these 75 tips would be most beneficial for me? And I'm going to have Rebecca answer this as well. But I hope you'll find that one of these is beneficial for your money and your life. And please consider having a money conversation around that topic. I think the number one thing for me, and this has been number one in many, many episodes, is automation and systems. For me, it's all about things being automatic. I recently even set up some of our credit cards on a little bit of a different pay system to make them easier. That way, I don't have to worry about that sort of stuff. So keep things automatic, keep them simple, keep money moving in the right direction with automation. There's a bunch of wonderful, great technology out there that'll help you automate things, keep them simple, and set up effective systems. And I'd be more than happy to sit down and have a conversation with anyone listening. If you maybe want some ideas or want to go through your financial life to see how you can automate it or what kind of systems you can set up, that would be an awesome and fun conversation. So please reach out if you have any questions about automating. But Rebecca, what is maybe your most beneficial topic or tip?
Well, first, I want to say he's serious. He loves automation, so take him up on it. My number one tip, and it's hard, there's so many good ones, but I think one of the most important things is don't make decisions immediately when it comes to money. Because like I said earlier, if you just take the time to let it sit and soak and simmer for a minute, when you get money, get paid, are considering purchasing something, if you give it that time, you'll be able to determine what's most important to you and whether or not this is the right financial decision to make. Because it can be super easy to just, with such a fast-paced world too, to just like want to go, go, go and spend, spend, spend. But as you take a second to step back and think about it and reset, you're able to look at it from a greater perspective, and you really will be able to save yourself some money and save yourself some financial trouble and difficulty and headaches if you just take a step back and don't make those decisions immediately. And that ties into a lot of the tips that we talked about, like no spend weeks, 24-hour rules, having a written plan. You can really focus on your financial goals when you take that second and don't immediately and impulsively make financial decisions. So that's what I have to say is probably the number one. Take that time you need.
Well, that's awesome. I can hear the crowd giving you a standing ovation right now.
Oh, well, thank you, everybody.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap this up, Rebecca, was there anything else that you wanted to add or talk about real quick?
Not specifically. Just if there's any of these tips that you want greater detail on or greater clarification, definitely reach out. Skylar or I would be happy to help. Skylar knows more than I do though, but I can back him. So
she can give you a little bit less of a money nerd's perspective, which can be honestly very beneficial. A lot of my experience and like knowledge of this stuff has grown because Rebecca helping me see it from less of a money's perspective and less of a numbers perspective, like I talked about in one of the first tips. So yeah, I'm sure Rebecca has great insight to help everyone with, but
I'm keeping it real.
Yes, she keeps it real and talks about more than just numbers. But like I wanted to add, if you have any questions, please reach out. And also I wanted to give a huge shout out to Rebecca because she asked to come on an episode. She wanted to come talk to all of you and to come share her wisdom and her great insight with everyone. So big round of applause for Rebecca for wanting to come on one of my longest episodes. I think we've been going for quite a while.
Hey, all I have to say is 75 tips is a lot and better share the load. We're in this together.
There we go. Well, let's wrap up this episode next. Okay, everyone, thank you for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Guess what? The complete list of 75 tips to help your financial life is in the show notes, as well as my contact information. If you need to contact someone to get help with any topic, please reach out. I'd be happy to discuss it with you. But also, please consider sharing this list with a friend, and then, of course, have a money talk about whichever tip you liked the most. It can be a great way to start a discussion because this list is very lengthy. There's a lot of great tips in there, and there's also a couple that are maybe different approaches to the same conversation. So be sure to have a money talk around your favorite tip. But of course, thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk Show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.